Bernard Cribbins plays the vicar and Richard Pearse the stranger in The Wonderful Visit by H.G. Wells, dramatized for radio by Stephen Gallagher, with music by Mia Soterio. This extraordinary story is related by Kim Wall as H.G. Wells.
On the night of the appearance of the strange bird, many people at Sidderton saw a glare over the Sidderford Moor. But no one in Sidderford saw it, for most of Sidderford was abed. No one in Sidderford saw the light, but Annie Durgan was lying awake and she saw the reflection of a flickering tongue of gold that danced upon the wall. She heard the sound, as did Lumpy Durgan the halfwit and Amory's mother. It began and ended like the opening and shutting of a door, and before and after they heard nothing. Nothing but the night wind howling over the moorland. Amory's mother said she'd wanted to cry when she heard it, but Lumpy the halfwit was only sorry that he could hear no more. Whether these events had any real connection with the story of the strange bird whose history follows is more than I can say, but I recount it here for reasons that will be more apparent as our story proceeds.
A strange bird, you say, Mrs. Hinniger? Strange? In what way?
I hardly know, Vicar. I didn't see it myself. Was lunch adequate?
Perfectly. But this bird...
Now, let me clear for you, then,
Vicar. No, Mrs. Hinniger, please.
All I know is what I heard in the village this morning. And as soon as I heard, I thought, that'll be of interest to the Reverend.
Of course.
Perhaps even a third entry to his name in Saunders' Book of British Birds. There aren't many collectors who can claim as much.
Leave the crockery for one moment, Mrs. Hinniger, please. I should very much like to hear whatever you were able to learn.
Well, Sandy Bright was coming down the road from Spinner's, carrying a side of bacon he'd taken in exchange for a clock.
Sandy Bright?
He said he saw something that flapped over him. Something larger than himself, with a vast spread of wings. He screamed, gave himself up for lost, then it passed him, sailed on down the hill, and soared away over the vicarage.
So close?
Right over this very roof.
Oh.
Then down it came, into the shadow of the earth, and it seemed larger than a man. He said its legs were long and bare, like skin, and it smote like an arrow through the air and was gone. Is there such a bird on God's earth, Vicar?
Oh, they're hardly an imaginative race around here. Barring its size, it sounds uncommonly like a flamingo. I may take a walk up to the woods later in the afternoon, but a winged creature the size of a man? Oh, I don't think so, Mrs. Hinniger. I don't think so, Mrs. Hinniger. I don't think so at all.
May I clear the table now, Vicar?
Yes, thank you. I think I may retire to the study for half an hour and...
Sleep, Vicar?
And look over some of those new violin pieces.
I was to remind you that Mrs. Mendham will be here a little after two.
The curate's wife coming here?
With her daughters and Mrs. Jehoram to play tennis on the lawn outside your study. She said you wouldn't object.
Yes, in Mrs. Mendham's case, I wouldn't dare.
Excuse me, Vicar?
I think I'll take a look in the woods now. After all, one never knows. There may be an unreported specimen to hand after all.
Will you be taking your gun, Vicar?
Loaded with swan shot, Mrs. Hinniger. I can hardly hope to study the creature if I don't shoot it first, can I? Tennis on the lawn. Thank you, Mrs. Mendham. Thank you very much. Oh, be charitable, Hillier, old boy. Show a little forbearance. Remember, while you're out here, looking for a man-sized bird that beats itself against the sky. Next thing they'll be seeing angels over Bromley. What? What? It was an accident. Oh, dear Lord, what have I done? Please let me help you.
The vicar was aghast. This was no bird at all, but a youth clad in a robe of saffron and with iridescent wings. Twice this angel raised himself, only to fall again.
What has happened to me?
Her terrified face grew pale. The floods of colour abated, and the broken wings faded swiftly to one uniform, dull grey hue.
I had no idea. Please excuse me. I'm afraid I have shot you.
Shot me? Who? A man? A man in the maddest black clothes? And without a feather upon him? Then I was not deceived. I am indeed in the land of dreams.
The land of dreams? Pardon me if I suggest you have just come out of it.
How can that be?
No, please, your wing is bleeding. I have a handkerchief. Please allow me to bind it for you.
I don't much like this new sensation.
You mean pain?
Do you have much of it in the land of dreams?
A very fair share. You don't have it in your...
No, and I don't like it.
Now, please hold still. I've studied ambulance before, but never a wing wound.
It seems so odd to be talking to a man.
It's equally odd to me that I should be talking to an angel. I'm a somewhat matter-of-fact person. A vicar has to be. I'm sorry. Angels I have always regarded as artistic conceptions.
Exactly what we think of men.
But surely you have seen so many men.
Never before today. I've seen several since the sunrise, besides a horse or so. So many mythical monsters. I came here to hide.
Mythical monsters? Do I understand that you consider me as something in a dream?
Of course. Everything around us is so dreamlike, just the way that artists often imagine.
Artists?
Angels with wonderful imaginations, who invent impossible creatures. You know, myths and such.
But I'm real, I assure you, I'm real.
Please, I always know when I'm dreaming.
Well, one of us must be... Wait a moment. The animals of your world, tell me some of them.
Well, there's griffins and dragons and jabberwocks and cherubim and sphinxes.
Thank you. That is quite enough. I begin to understand. From our point of view, those are the dream creatures.
Really? How singular. You call men real and angels a myth.
That's how it is in this world.
Then there would have to be two worlds.
At least two.
Lying somehow close together.
As close as page to page of a book.
Penetrating, but knowing nothing of each other.
Except when people go a-dreaming.
Could be. Sometimes, just as I've been dropping asleep on the very edge of consciousness, I've glimpsed a land like this one.
And I've seen faces like yours and strange vistas and wonderful forms going to and fro. I've even heard sweet music.
And in some incomprehensible manner, I've fallen out of my own world and into this one of yours. Into the world of my dreams.
Worlds upon worlds. Universe upon universe. Tell me, in your world, does an angel die?
Die? That's another strange word.
Well, not here. It means leaving off, ceasing to live.
No, we never leave off.
Well, you don't know what can happen to you in this world. If you can feel pain and have your wings broken, you may even have to die before you get out of it again. Does your wing feel any better?
It was like a flashing before. Now it's more like a glow.
Oh, please. I'm so sorry for the injury I caused you. My house is just beyond the hill.
House?
Oh, there's so much to be explained. Please, let me take you there. I shall call for Dr. Crump and I'll have to work out what's to be done with you. But please, tell me more about this world of yours.
Service, dear! Service! Throw the ball up in the air and swipe it as hard as you can.
I keep throwing it up, Mrs. Menderby. Don't seem to be hitting it.
Sure, little Phyllis, dear. Swipe it harder.
I think perhaps we ought to stop for a minute. The vicar's coming this way.
Oh, nonsense, dear. Play on.
But there's somebody with him. I think it's a curly-haired young gal in a saffron dress.
Call that a dress? I can see the girl's knees.
Mrs. Mendham, I do apologize. I'd completely forgotten about your tennis game.
Mr. Hillier, this is too much.
Mrs. Mendham, what's the matter?
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Oh, dear, Mrs. Mendham. Mrs. Mendham, you don't understand.
I think I understand perfectly, Mr. Hillier. And we're not staying for it, are we, Mrs. Jehoram?
No, we're not staying for it.
Come, Mrs. Jehoram.
Yes, Mrs. Mendham.
This is what comes of having an unmarried vicar. Oh, I shall tell my husband.
Such quaint shapes.
Those were ladies.
I hope they weren't frightened at the sight of my wings.
I don't think they even noticed your wings. All they saw was me leading what they thought was a half-dressed young girl across the lawn.
A girl? This is another of your species.
It's your hair and your manner of dress. Would you object, pending more permanent arrangements, to exchanging your robe for a suit like mine?
Wear clothes like yours? Mm. What a mad, quaint dream this is. I'll do it!
No, 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 not here on the lawn, indoors. We change indoors.
More tea for you and your guest, Vicar.
Thank you, Mrs. Henniger.
And might I have a word?
Well, of course, Mrs. Henniger.
I don't wish to speak out of turn, Vicar, but you might have warned me that our guest would be a poor hunchback.
A hunchback? Oh, I see. You mean the shape of his wings under the overcoat.
I beg your pardon, Vicar.
Well, it's the way that his... Yes, you're quite right, Mrs. Henniger. I should have warned you that our guest was a hunchback.
So sad. Such a sweet-faced boy as well.
Yeah, I've sent for Dr. Crump to look in on us. Please show him through when he arrives, will you?
Yes, of course, Vicar.
Thank you. Well, that's eating and drinking for you. And the sensation you couldn't understand, that was hunger.
Remarkable.
Yes.
What a dear, grotesque, ugly world you live in. We get so little ugliness in my world.
But this world of yours, it isn't actually God's heaven.
I know nothing of your God. But in the land of the angels, we have neither pain, nor trouble, nor death. We have no marrying and no giving in marriage. We have no birth nor forgetting. The land goes on forever, and the air goes upward past the sun into the uttermost abyss of the sky. Quite unlike this world of yours.
Quite.
I mean, this chair thing, it's square and you aren't. And yet you fold yourself up to get into it.
To tell you the truth, that's something that's always puzzled me.
And what's this?
A stuffed kingfisher. I killed it.
Killed it?
Shot it. With a gun.
As you did me?
Yes, but fortunately I didn't kill you.
But you wanted to make me like that? Put glass eyes in me and string me up in a glass case?
But at the time I scarcely understood what
Poor little thing. Why did you kill it?
Well, you see, I take an interest in birds, and I collect them. I wanted the specimen.
A beautiful bird like that, and all because the fancy took you.
But I'm a collector, and it's all in the interest of science.
Dr. Crump, sir.
Afternoon, Helio. What's the trouble?
Ah, thank you for coming so promptly, Doctor. It's this gentleman, this angel. He's suffering from a gunshot wound.
Gunshot wound? In July? Well, may I look at it, Mr. Angel, was it?
If someone will help me off with this overcoat.
Yes, allow me.
Yes, right. That's it. Spinal curvature? No. Abnormal growth? Well, let me take a closer look. Curious reduplication of the anterior limb. Congenital, of course. Humerus appears to be broken. Curious integumentary simulation of features. I mean, almost avian.
Yeah, well, you can put your coat back on now, if you'd rather.
Thank you.
Yes, one can almost imagine how the myth of the angels arose.
It's curious your name should be Angel as well.
Doctor, could I have a word?
Oh, many as you like, Vicar. I'm done here now.
Please, step into the hall. Doctor, you don't understand. That is an angel.
When did you happen upon this fellow? Right after lunch?
It was a little after two, yes.
Yeah, well, you go out on a hot lunch, a hot afternoon, it's probably over 80. Oh. Your mind whirling with avian expectations. A man who's been lying in the bracken stands up before you and you blaze away. Over he goes. And as it happens, he has reduplicate forelimbs. One pair being not unlike wings.
But he even says he's an angel. Oh,
Vicar, the poor man's probably been deranged by his deformity. Now, look at the effeminate delicacy of his face, the neglected cut of his hair, that terrible old suit he's wearing.
What? It's, what?
No doubt he's slipped away from confinement. You'll probably hear from his family in a day or so. Well, I'll come along and see that wing again tomorrow. Nobody's been along to fetch him in the meantime.
But I'm almost certain that...
Oh, don't let these old wives' tales get a hold on you, Vicar. And now I'll get out of the way before your curate arrives.
Mendham, come in here.
Well, unless there's a corpse with a full-sized beard comes striding across the churchyard. I passed him heading this way, and very stern he was looking.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm afraid I inadvertently offended Mrs. Mendham earlier this afternoon.
No cause to be afraid, Vicar. Stand up for the man.
I wish it were so simple.
Afternoon, Mendham. Just waiting.
Your turn. My wife, Vicar, has come home in a dreadful state.
Look, come in, come in. I'm most dreadfully sorry, but when I explain...
Explain you... and apologise, I hope. What was that woman?
Woman?
The painted creature in light attire. Disgustingly light attire, to speak freely. With whom you were promenading in the garden. The world grows blacker every day, but to find a man in your position, shamelessly...
Then look openly... here, Mendham, you really misunderstand.
Very well. Explain.
Do you believe in angels, Mendham? Real angels?
I am not here to discuss theology. I am the husband of an insulted woman.
But I tell you, it's not a figure of speech. This is an angel. A real angel. With wings.
Really, Hillian?
I can assure you it is true. I fired at him, taking him for a flamingo, and hit him in the wing.
I thought this was a case for the bishop. I find it is a case for the lunacy commissioners.
Look, come through and see him.
But there are no angels, and I don't want to see your hallucinations.
Look, I can't explain anything unless you see him. A man who's more like an angel than anything else in heaven or earth. You simply must see if you wish to understand. Look.
Flamingo, indeed.
This is Mr. Mendham, my curate.
Curate?
Mr. Hillier tells me that... You claim to be an angel.
Are an angel.
We are naturally curious to know something of how you came into the village in such a peculiar costume.
See,
let him explain.
I wanted to suggest...
And I don't want you to suggest. It is my place to demand an explanation, and I must demand one.
I am rather new to the world.
19 at a guess, old enough to know better. That's a poor excuse.
Are you assuming that I'm a man like yourself? Have you never even heard of an angel?
I warn you now not to try that story on me.
But Mendham, he has wings.
Wings?
It's true, I have.
No angel would cause alarm to ladies.
Is that what this is about?
Enough cause too, I should think. I cannot understand, Hillier, why you are in the church. The air is full of social movement, of economic change, the women's movement, rational dress, the reunion of Christendom, socialism, individualism, all the great moving questions of the hour, and here you are, stuffing birds and startling ladies with your callous disregard.
But men of...
You shame the apostles with your levity. But this is only a preliminary inquiry.
Oh...
Oh. Are all men so odd as this?
If you had made your debut in the chancel on a Sunday, it might have been different, but that's too late now. You see, people in the world, being men themselves, will almost certainly regard you as a man. If I might suggest...
You propose that I should pretend to be a man?
It would at least get us around the supernatural element. There's such a feeling against the supernatural nowadays, even in the pulpit.
Well, my wings are broken. I feel hunger and pain. I might as well be a man already.
Yes? Well, what is it, Delia?
Mrs. Henniger sent me to ask if the gentleman will be staying to dinner, sir.
Yes, Delia. The gentleman will.
Anything else, sir?
Nothing further tonight, Delia. Please convey our thanks to Mrs. Hillager for her trouble over dinner.
Yes, sir. Good night, sir.
Well, I shouldn't worry too much about that business with the knife and fork. These things come with practice.
Was that a lady, too?
Delia? No, she's a serving maid.
So, serving maid is like a lady, only a nicer shape.
Don't ever say that to Mrs. Mendham. No, the business of servants is a complicated one to explain. So much can depend on the circumstances of one's birth. It's far too complicated for me at this late hour, I'm afraid. Perhaps I can leave it for another day.
This birth business, this is the beginning of what you call life.
Yes. People begin existence in this world as babies. Silly, pink, helpless things wrapped in white with goggling eyes, and they yelp dismally at the font. When they grow to a certain size, they become boys and girls, and then youths and maidens, and then young men and young women. That is the finest time of life, according to many, full of great hopes and dreams, of vague emotions and unexpected dangers.
And this Delia, that was a maiden?
Yes, that was a maiden.
And then?
Then the glamour fades and life begins in earnest. The young men and women pair off, most of them. They come to me, shy and bashful, in smart, ugly dresses, and I marry them. And then little pink babies come to them, and some of the youths and maidens that were grow fat and vulgar, and some grow thin and shrewish, and their pretty complexions go, and they get a queer delusion of superiority over the younger people, and all the delight and glory goes out of their lives. So they call the delight and glory of the younger ones illusion. And then they begin to drop to pieces.
Drop to pieces? How grotesque! Were you a pink baby?
A little while ago I was.
And then you were a little boy?
A little boy.
And then a glorious youth?
I was not a very glorious youth, I'm afraid. I was sickly and too poor to be radiant, and with a timid heart. I studied hard and pored over the dying thoughts of men long dead. So I lost the glory, and no maiden came to me. And the dullness of life began too soon.
No pink babies came to you?
None. Yet all the same, as you see, I am beginning to drop to pieces. Soon I shall be done with, and I shall go out of this world of mine, whither I do not know. Every day I feel less confidence in my beliefs, and more in God. I live a quiescent life, duties fairly done, a little ornithology and a little chess, a trifle of mathematical trifling. My times are in his hand. Ah, another new sensation to be learned.
I believe so. What is it?
That was a yawn. But surely you sleep in the land of angels?
Only in order to dream.
Then the hour for dreaming is upon us. Mrs. Hinniger has prepared you a room.
The afterglow of the summer sunset darkens into night, and the angel sleeps, dreaming himself back in the wonderful world where it is happy, where fire does not burn and ice does not chill. He dreams, and it seems to him that once more his wings glow with a thousand colors and flash through the crystal air of the world from which he has come. The vicar lies awake, too perplexed for dreaming. For 20 years now he has held his village living and lived his daily life, protected by his familiar creed. But the evening's talk has opened strange new vistas in his mind. And what of those who first glimpse the arrival of the strange bird? Sandy Bright is on his knees in prayer with the window carefully fastened. Annie Durgan is sleeping hard with her mouth open. And Amra's mother is dreaming of washing. Lumpy Durgan sits up in his bed, listening intently for a sound he has heard once and longs to hear again. As for the solicitor's clerk, he's trying to write poetry about a confectioner's girl at Port Burdock, and the strange bird is quite out of his head. And so the night passes.
Please excuse me, Vicar. Hearing the violin, I assumed you were still upstairs.
That is our guest, Mrs. Hinniger.
He plays very well.
He plays beautifully. I feel as if I shall never want to play again.
I want to talk to you about curtains, Vicar.
Curtains?
There's a scorch on one of the curtains on the upper landing.
Oh, I know. I had to explain to Mr. Angel about candles and fire. He didn't understand.
Between Mr. Angel and his candles and you and your pipe ash, Vicar, I shouldn't be surprised if the house were to burn down round our ears. When may I change the curtain?
As soon after breakfast as you want, Mrs. Hinniger. Oh. Our guest has expressed a wish to look around the village on his own. I've encouraged him. A pleasant stroll after breakfast can be very restful.
What must I say? What am I supposed to do?
Cook an imperium and quiet people's
business. Stand on back, foreigner!
Hair like a girl he's got!
Please, no closer!
Hey, hey, hey. What's all this wreckage right outside my garden?
Oh, such a crowd!
That's the old sawbones!
Come on, before he raises the bobbies!
Oh, they're all alike in these villages. Can't understand anything abnormal. So you're not looking strange at Chuckle Stone. I hardly blame you for hiding in a fellow's garden. How's your excrescence?
My what?
Bifid limb. You know,
Well, how is it? Look, since you're here, you'd better come in and let me take another look at it. Come along, this way.
I never saw anything heal so well in my life. Your blood and flesh must be as free from bacteria as they make them. Whatever stuff there is in your head. One thing, though, I'd swear these things were smaller.
Please don't call them excrescences.
Oh, no, of course. They're wings, aren't they? Journey Thai yesterday? You flew all the way, no conveyance of any kind.
There wasn't any way. I was flying up a symphony with some griffins and a fiery cherubim, and suddenly everything went dark, and I was in this world of yours.
Oh, dear me. And that's why you haven't any luggage. I suppose you know this world of ours pretty well. Watching us over the adamantine wall and that kind of thing, eh?
Not very well. We dream of it sometimes in the moonlight, when the nightmares have fanned us to sleep with their wings.
Oh, yes, of course. That's a very poetical way of putting it. Yeah, put your coat on now. Where's that Parish magazine? Look, now here. Here's some real angels. You see? It's not simply the wings. White, you see, with a curly wisp of robe, sailing up into the sky with their wings furled. One is a bit of a harp, you see, and the other's helping this wingless lady. Kind of larval angel, you know, up into the clouds.
But those aren't angels at all.
But they are, I can assure you. I have the best authority.
If these are angels, then I have never been in the angelic land.
Precisely. That's just what I'm getting at. You see, you're not as mad as you seem. There's hope for you after all.
Really, Doctor?
A little more rigorous logic, and you'll soon strip away the rest of your delusions.
I'll be forever in your debt, Dr. Crump. Now, perhaps if you could tell me if there is a path that will take me back to the vicarage. I think I'd rather not go through the village again.
Stop here, coachman.
Yes, ma'am.
Whoa, now. Vicar!
Oh, good morning, Lady Hammergallow.
What are you looking for?
I was merely taking the air and standing for a few moments at the vicarage gate.
Looking for the return of your guest, by any chance?
Oh, you know about my guest?
Passed him on the road about an hour ago. He was walking down into the village. By some accounts, he's a lunatic. By others, he's a genius on the violin.
You've been talking to Mrs. Mandom.
Oh, don't imagine I'd take Mrs. Mandom's word unsupported on anything, Vicar. Lunatic, indeed. The poor creature has rather a pretty face. You have asked him to stop with you, indefinitely.
I did say something
of it. And you don't know where he comes from?
Not at all.
Nor who his father is, I suppose.
No.
No.
My dear Lady Hammergallow.
I thought so. Don't think I would blame you, Mr. Hillier. The world is the world, and men are men. And the poor boy's a cripple, eh? A kind of judgment. In mourning, I noticed that terrible black suit.
I thought it
the
rather...
The mother's dead, I suppose. I'm not a narrow woman, Vicar. I respect you for having him, really, I do.
But Lady Hammergallow...
Oh, don't spoil everything by denying it. It is so very, very plain to a woman of the world. Oh, that Mrs. Mandom, she amuses me with her suspicions. Such odd ideas, and in a curate's wife. But I hope it didn't happen when you were in orders.
Lady Hammergallow, I protest upon my word.
Miss Hillier, I protest, I know. Not anything you will say will alter my opinion one jot, so don't try. I never suspected you were nearly such an interesting man.
But this suspicion...
We will help him together, Mr. Hillier. You may rely upon me. On Tuesday next, I shall invite just a few people of taste, and he shall bring his violin. And if that goes well, I will see if I can get some introductions and really push it.
But Lady Hammergallow...
Not another word, Vicar. And don't hang about in the lane like that. It's most unbecoming. Gives you the look of a common footman.
An unjustifiable suspicion that ever
coachman,
a man...
Coachman, drive on!
Yes, ma'am. Go on now.
Oh, damn.
There he goes. Across the cornfield. I'm sure that's him. I can see the hump.
Those opera glasses bring everything so close.
Oh, so convenient for peeping at the vicarage. Yes, it's the man. Oh, he's definitely a man. With such a sweet face.
Oh, let me see. I always distrust the vicar. I know him. Thank you. His dress is quite respectable now.
Quite.
He looks cross about something.
And his coat is dusty. You see, dear, what I was going to say was that possibly he might have been a genius in disguise.
I hardly think, Mrs. Johanna.
No, I cling to the genius theory. I heard his playing on the violin as I came by the vicarage this morning.
The vicar plays the violin. I have spoken to George about it, but it has done no good.
This was not the vicar, I assure you, Mrs. Mandom. This was quite clever and rather new. I said as much to Lady Hammergallow when I met her.
Really?
I'm sure the creature is original, perhaps very amusing. In fact, I intend to ask the vicar to introduce me.
My dear!
I'm resolute.
I'm afraid you're rash. Geniuses and people of that kind are all very well in London, but here, at the vicarage...
We are going to educate the folks. I love originality. At any rate, I mean to see him.
Well, take care you don't see too much of him. I've heard the fashion is quite changing. I understand that some of the very best people have decided that genius is not to be encouraged anymore. These recent scandals...
That's in literature, dear. We're talking now about music. It's quite different. Can you see him still?
He's going through the side gate into the vicarage garden. Oh, now I've lost him behind the hedge. My dear, nothing you can say will ever make me forget that dreadful encounter yesterday.
Oh, sir, you startled me.
Forgive me, Delia, my mind was elsewhere.
Have I angered you, sir?
You? Oh, no, Delia, no. Your hand has a bandage. Oh. Did the vicar shoot you as well?
Shoot me? Oh, no, sir. I was picking blackberries in the lane and I caught myself on some of Sir John's barbed wire.
Barbed wire? I've seen barbed wire. I thought it to be some cruel kind of vine until somebody explained that it was the work of man. Sir John, you say? You mean Sir John Gotch?
Well, yeah, he owns all of the woodland on this side of the village.
Oh, you wonder why I seem angry, Delia. I have learned so much today. I was chased. I was abused. Outside the village school, I was pelted with stones by a crowd of boys.
Oh,
the village doctor pats me on the head and tells me that I'm a madman, but there's hope for me yet if I'll accept the ways of this world that's so new to me. And then, as I came back along the path through the cornfields, I met a man who told me exactly what the ways of this world are.
What kind of man, sir?
He was stretched out among the wild flowers, a pallid creature in rusty black with a hat pulled down over one eye.
There was a tramp of that description stopped by here 2 days ago, sir. The vicar had Mrs. Inniger give him a meal, and Mrs. Inniger had me scrub down the step when he'd done sitting on it.
Well, he told me about barbed wire, and he told me about Sir John Gotch, about the shame that he brought on a kitchen maid when
you mustn't repeat that.
Isn't it true?
Well, yeah, it's true enough, sir, but such things are considered indelicate.
Indelicate? There's no justice in this world of man that's worth the name, Delia, and precious little of the beauty that was so common in mine either.
Not anywhere, sir.
Not anywhere. Except in the eyes of someone like you. Your eyes are very beautiful, Delia.
Oh, sir.
Please excuse me.
Mr. Angel, I've been watching the lane for you.
I came back across the cornfield.
Come through to the study at once. There's so much to cover before Tuesday, so much to explain.
Tuesday?
The concert. Don't dawdle around the vegetable patch, Delia. Mrs. Hinnager's been looking for you.
Oh, yes, sir.
There are so many aspects of etiquette that we haven't even touched upon in so little time.
I really don't understand what you mean.
You see? You are to be plunged into society on Tuesday with only the barest preparation. Now, please, come through into the study.
When Lady Hammergallow made up her mind, things tended to happen as she resolved. And though the vicar made a spasmodic protest, she carried out her purpose and got audience, angel and violin together at Sidder Morton House on Tuesday.
The dear vicar foresees a brilliant future for Mr. Angel on the concert platform. His hair is long and with the vicar's clothes fitting him so badly, I'd say he looked quite like a fashionable pianist already. And the scandal of his birth will be quite a point in his favour when he gets to London.
He seems a foreign sort of chap to me. Affected all very well in a drawing room, but for my part, give me a masculine man and a feminine woman.
That's all very well, but what of his ability?
I haven't actually heard him play yet. Mrs. Jehoram has, haven't you, Jessica?
Only one morning as I was passing the vicarage. But I'm sure I must have seen him somewhere before. It may have been in Vienna.
Is it true that he won't sit in a chair or anything other than a music stool?
The artistic temperament, you know.
I heard he was a hunchback.
Oh, I heard so too, but it's barely noticeable now. See for yourself. Here he comes.
Because you have brought our celebrity.
Lady Hammergallow, if you've a moment, I really must try to get the record straight. Such rumors are going around.
What's that, Vicar? You'll have to speak up. I can hardly hear you.
I'm not really his guardian, Lady Hammergallow.
What? Speak up, I said.
Yes, of course, it's very kind indeed of you to take such an interest. But I would
like to... Well, Mr. Angel.
Is Sir John Gotch here today?
Sir John?
The owner of all the barbed wire.
Well, it's hardly likely. And they may be neighbors, but Lady Hammergallow can hardly bear the man.
Really? Did he give her the same treatment that he gave to his kitchen maid?
Mr. Angel.
Mr. Angel, I think we are ready for you now.
I have to play. Please excuse me.
Oh, why, Mr. Angel.
He's certainly very pretty, but I always say that the ultimate test of a man is his strength.
Please, it's about to begin.
Thank you.
Enjoy violin music so much, Miss Pirbright.
Oh, we get so little nice music down here, Mr. Haringey.
He plays very nicely.
Oh, such a delicate touch.
Does Willie keep up his lessons?
Well, we heard about a new teacher who's been tutored to some of the best families in Bromley. Oh. And we made an inquiry.
So I said, if you cannot cook the food my way, you must go. Oh. And did she improve after that? Not a bit of it.
It's the effeminate man who makes the masculine woman when the glory of a man is his hair. What's a woman to do, eh?
It doesn't affect them. The music doesn't reach them at all. They see nothing of a world beyond their own.
Thank you, Mr. Angel. I'm sure we all enjoyed your most novel composition. Oh, can you do imitations?
Oh, do I adore imitations?
I don't understand.
A pig squeaking, a cock crowing, you know. Best fun you can get out of a fiddle, in my opinion.
I really don't understand.
What? No imitations? Oh. Well, perhaps you'd condescend to a duet with Mr. Wilmerdings here.
Yes, I should be pleased to take the piano, Lady Hammergallow. I have some of the more familiar pieces here with me. What would you say to this barcarolle, Mr. Angel?
What do all these little dots mean?
He cannot play from notes. Nonsense.
Are those notes?
First the man refuses to do a few simple imitations, and now, if this is just some silly way of refusing a duet with Mr. Wilmerdings, then I'm afraid I cannot ask you to play again. If a man should pretend to practice an art, he ought at least to have the conscience to study the elements of it. Perhaps, Mr. Wilmerdings, you will now favour us with that delightful polonaise of Chopin's.
Certainly, Lady Hammergallow. Excuse me. Thank you.
Right, ready, everyone?
Oh, Mr. Angel, please sit here.
Thank you, Mrs. Jehoram. I seem to have given offence somehow. I've let down the vicar. Lady Hammergallow refuses even to speak to him.
I found your playing delightful.
I'm glad it pleased you.
Pleased is scarcely the word. I was moved profoundly. Nobody else here understands. I know nothing about music technically, but there is something in it. A longing, a wish.
You really see that?
I do.
do. I am quite unlike these others, you know.
You mean that you have become separated from your own world?
Yes. Yes, you see. We have so much in common. There are those who cannot live without sympathy. And times when one feels all alone in the world, fighting a battle against it all. Laughing, flirting, hiding the pain of it. Oh,
yes, I know.
Do you look for sympathy? Or have you found it?
I think I have found it.
Oh.
Her name is Delia.
Delia?
She is...
Delia, why? We know not that little housemaid at the vicarage.
You know her, then?
Well, I never did.
Well, what's wrong?
To make me your confidant in an intrigue with a servant. Really, Mr. Angel, it's possible to be too original.
Excuse me for one moment, please, Mrs. Jehoram. I think I see an opportunity to redeem myself in the eyes of the company.
But Mr. Angel...
Madam, please allow me. I understand that a lady... must never be allowed to carry anything.
Oh, Mr. Angel!
Oh, Mr. Hillier, I really must ask you to take him home.
Yes, please.
Assisting one of the maids. Disgraceful.
Just put that... No, give it back to her.
Oh,
come with
me. Mr. Angel.
But I did exactly as you told me. I relieved a lady of a heavy tea tray and then held the door for her to go through.
That was not a lady. That was one of the maids.
She was shaped more like a lady. Kind of broad and square, like Mrs. Mendham.
Look, shape has nothing to do with it. Why didn't I explain this whole servant business to you when I had the chance?
Vicar! Mr. Hillier!
It's Constable Horrocks. You go on. I'll speak to him here.
I'm sorry.
I know you are. It's they who ought to understand, but I'm certain that they won't. Go on now.
Well, evening, sir. Could I speak to you for a minute?
Of course, Constable. It's a relief to find someone in the village who still wants to.
You'll excuse my taking the liberty, sir, but there's trouble brewing for that crippled gent you've got staying in your house.
More trouble, bless me.
It concerns this, sir.
Barbed wire?
Barbed wire that's been cut, if you look closely, Vicar. Yeah. Sir John's very angry indeed, and he asked me to find out who did it. Oh. Whole lengths of the stuff have been ripped up along the Sidderford Road. Disagreeable duty, sir, but I've had to do it.
But what do you think Sir John will do?
He's dreadful set against the person who did it, sort of slapping his arrangements in the face like that.
And you're really quite sure that it was Mr. Angel who did it?
Sherlock Holmes, sir, couldn't be more certain.
Then I suppose I'd better write a little note to the squire.
Hello, how's the wind?
Doctor.
I didn't mean to make a jump. Heard you coming along the riverbank. How is it?
Very well. Pain's gone.
They seem to be withering away.
I know.
You count yourself lucky. Do you also know that you're trespassing here?
Trespassing?
Don't you know what that means, eh?
No, I don't.
Oh, very good. You're amazingly consistent. You make slips, of course, but very few.
Slips? What?
I wonder who you really are.
You're blind to who I really am. Your ears are deaf and your soul
oh,
is
oh, not
dark.
That, please. Look, I don't want to pry into your reasons for keeping quiet, only I would like you to think of Hillier's mental health. He really believes this story.
What would you have me do? I can't change anything.
Oh, you didn't know him before this affair. He used to be neat and comfortable, and for the last fortnight he's been wandering around with a faraway look in his eyes. Last Sunday he preached without his cufflinks, and his tie was on. You see, he really believes all this nonsense about the angelic land. I'm not so easily taken in. You're either a lunatic at large, which I now doubt, or you're a knave. Nothing else is possible. So I'll make myself plain. Either you leave the vicar alone, or I'll communicate with the police. They'll trap you into a prison if you go back, or on the Astoria, or into a madhouse if you don't.
Prison? A madhouse?
It's stretching a point. But I swear I'd certify you insane tomorrow to get you out of the village.
But what can I do?
You can leave.
But then I can only go on to some other village.
That's not my affair. You go where you like. Only go. Leave the vicar and your little servant girl with the head spinning of galaxies and angels.
Leave Delia?
As the medical advisor of this parish, I'm telling you that you are an unhealthy influence. We can't have you. You must go. Sit here a while. Think it over. You'll see this is the only way. Good afternoon to you. Mr. Angel.
An
the influence.
Sir John Gotch for you, Vicar.
Please show him in, Mrs.
Hennage.
Oh, thank you for coming, Sir John. This unfortunate business of the barbed wire is really most unfortunate.
It is.
This Mr. Angel being my guest.
No reason why he should cut my wire.
No, none at all, but the point is...
Who exactly is this Mr. Angel, anyway?
Well, to tell you the exact truth, there is a little secret.
Heard as much from the Hammergallow household.
No, I don't mean that kind of secret. That's a pure misunderstanding.
Do you know that he's been going about this village preaching socialism?
And it's caused me nothing but embarrassment ever... Socialism?
Yeah. Buttonhole some yokel and ask why the likes of him had to do all the work, why the likes of us... You and I, that is, Vicar, do nothing. Ask it straight out. Try to pretend it was just some innocent inquiry. This wire cutting's a demonstration, I tell you. A socialistic demonstration. If we don't come down on him pretty sharply, we'll have hayricks afire and every blessed pheasant's egg in the parish smash. So there's one of two things. Either that guest of yours leaves the parish, or I take proceedings. That's final.
Well, arrangements will have to be made.
I'll give you a week.
Thank you, Sir John. I understand your position.
Sorry to give you this bother, of course.
A week?
A week. Evening to you, Vicar.
Oh. Oh, this is no world for angels. Mrs. Henniger, are you still there?
Yes, Vicar.
First thing tomorrow, Mrs. Henniger, I shall have to compile a list of items for Mr. Angel's travelling kit. I'll appreciate it if you give me some help.
Mr. Angel is leaving us, sir.
He is, Mrs. Henniger, although where he'll go I hardly know.
Oh, pardon me for saying so, sir, but it won't be too soon for me. There's talk in the village like you wouldn't believe. And he's becoming an influence on Delia.
An influence?
Yeah, she sits by her window at night, hoping to hear him play that fiddle you gave him. The rest of the staff have discussed it, and we're agreed he ought to go.
Well, Mrs. Henniger, you'll get your wish. Mr. Angel will be leaving this house in the course of a week. Will that be enough?
Quite. And I feel sure,
yes, thank you, Mrs. Henniger.
You're doing the right thing.
Thank you. That will be all.
That night, Delia sat with her window open once more, hoping to hear the angel play. But there was to be no more music.
Oh, Mr. Angel.
I am painfully aware of the objectionable nature of my story here. I know that to give a mere servant girl the refined feelings of a human being must place me outside the pale of respectable storytellers. But there it is. I do the thing with my eyes open. Presently she heard the door into the garden opening. It was the angel. She saw him run. She saw him leap into the air. She saw him fall.
This world wraps me around and swallows me up. My wings grow shriveled and useless. Soon I shall be nothing more than a crippled man. And I shall age and bow myself to pain and die. I'm miserable. And I'm alone.
Sir, sir, are you hurt?
I am cast down, Delia. It is dark. It is cold. And I cannot use my wings.
Oh, I don't understand you.
I'm not a creature for understanding, Delia. The best I can hope for is pity.
I don't know who you are or what you may be, but I am sorry. I'm sorry for you with all my heart.
Tomorrow morning, I'm to amuse myself after breakfast while others make plans for my departure. Oh. But if I can't go back to the place from where I came, what is there for me?
I would do anything to help you.
Delia! Delia, is that you?
It's Mrs. Henniger.
Come in at once, Delia. And if that Mr. Angel was any kind of a gentleman, he'd feel ashamed of himself. And you an orphan, too.
I must go inside, sir.
Yes. Go, Delia. Go.
Suppose he got
to have a frock coat and trousers, of course. Do you think you'll need a silk hat?
Well, you've already made a note for a felt hat, Vicar.
But a silk hat would be the correct thing for the town.
I'll change it, then.
I dread to think of him alone in that great city. He'll misunderstand everybody. Everybody will misunderstand him.
Braces, Vicar?
Braces? Oh, yes. Although I don't know how he'll get them on. Have you seen Mr. Angel at all this morning, Mrs. Hinniger?
He went out shortly after breakfast, Vicar. Collars?
A dozen. And a rubber stamp to put his name on them. Those washerwomen are certain to steal all his things. Is there something wrong, Mrs. Hinniger?
Is your pipe alight by any chance, Vicar?
No, I knocked it out about 10 minutes ago. See?
Into the fireplace, was that?
Yes, I suppose. No, now you mention it. I think it must have been into the...
The wastebasket?
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Oh, the curtains! There's the curtains!
Well, then...
We've all that burnt down. No, no, no,
yes. Oh, yeah. We need water.
Well, we need more than water. We'll need a fire brigade.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Fire!
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 The barefaced cheek of a man. Tears up my wire. But now look at him. Walking on my land as if it all belonged to him. Hey! You there! Get out of this wood!
Why?
Well, I'm damned.
Why should I get out of this wood?
Because it's mine. And I don't want to hear any of your socialist rot saying otherwise.
Then, you're Sir John Gotch.
It's at least one grain of sense in that head of yours, then.
The man who set out all the barbed wire.
The same. Now get out of this damn wood before I have to get down and take a horsewhip to you.
And what gives you the right to order me out of this place?
That's enough. If you won't listen to sense, I'm obviously going to have to beat it into you.
With what? With this?
Hey, give me that whip.
Here.
What?
That's your thing of pride and lies. You overshadow the souls of other men, you shallow fool! With your horses and your dogs, to lift your faces against any living thing! Love! 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 Love!
What am I doing? What is this world making of me?
Why does he not move?
Why does he lie so still? Hey, awake. So this is what it is to die. And by this cursed hand of mine. What else can lie ahead of me now? What else?
I think twice before I lift my hand against a lunatic.
This is no world for an angel. To come into it is to fall. There's too much bitterness and anger here. And the worst is that I'm becoming a part of it. I feel as if I've taken some kind of a poison. And now I feel its destruction spreading within me.
Hey, you're going the wrong way.
What?
You're going the wrong way. Is this the way?
Where?
To the vicarage to see the fire. Hurry up or you'll miss it.
The vicarage? Oh, no.
I was standing near her. I heard her. I can get his fiddle, says she, just like that. I can get his fiddle.
What is it? What does this mean?
She went in. She went right in the burning house.
If you're looking for the vicar, he's over there getting his head bandaged.
Who went into the house? Where's Delia?
That's her name, Delia. She's the one who went back inside.
What happened? Where is she now?
Everybody was out, safe. And then this servant girl turns around and runs straight back. She was saying something about a fiddle.
I can't get his fiddle. That's exactly what she said.
No, no.
Wasn't nobody could stop her, and now she can't get out.
Delia. Delia!
Stop it! Hold it back!
Delia! There isn't any way out. You came for me?
This is no world for us, Delia. Whatever touches it becomes corrupted.
Take my hand.
Sir?
Take my hand, Delia, quickly. There is a way home. I know it now.
I can reach.
There. Don't let go. I'm taking you on a journey, but don't ever let go.
I'm ready.
Did you see that, Vicar?
Yes, Crump. I did.
Remarkable phenomenon. Bandage tight enough?
Quite.
Rather had the look of...
Two angels ascending on a ball of fire.
I was going to say the Aurora Borealis myself.
Then believe that, Doctor. Believe that, if you must.
There stand two little white crosses in the Siddermorton churchyard, near together, where the brambles come clambering over the stone wall. One is inscribed Thomas Angel, and the other Delia Hardy, and the dates of their deaths are the same. Really, there is nothing beneath them but the ashes of the vicar's stuffed ostrich. The vicar would sometimes say that he could hear music, and would stare into the distance for hours at a time. Sometimes he would say that he could also hear voices.
You bestial thing of pride and lies. You overshadow the souls of other men. Learn. 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 Learn.
Later, the vicar moved in with the Mendhams. But then he died within a 12-month of the vicarage fire. Mendham became the new vicar of Siddermorton. And there, this story of the wonderful visit ends.
Bernard Cribbins played the vicar, Richard Pierce the angel, and Margot Boyd, Mrs. Hinniger, in The Wonderful Visit by H.G. Wells. Mrs. Mendham, Hilda Schroeder. Mrs. Jehoram, Joanna Mackey. Mr. Mendham, John Badley. Dr. Crump, Norman Bird. Delia, Emily Richard. Lady Hammergallow, Pauline Letts. Miss Purbright, Zela Clark. George Haringey, Peter Craze. Visiting Curate, Simon Cuff. Constable Horrocks, Michael Tudor Barnes. Sir John Gotch, Alan Dudley. The story was told by Kim Wall as H.G. Wells. The Wonderful Visit was dramatized by Stephen Gallagher. The music was composed by Mia Soterio. The play was directed by Martin Jenkins.